fasten your seatbelt, and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we look at the local impact of the earthquake in Haiti 9 days after the event. According to the Associated Press, as many as 200,000 people may have died, 2 million may be homeless, 3 million people need help, and up to 80,000 may have been buried in mass graves. More than 50 aftershocks have jolted the city of Port-au-Prince. 500,000 quake victims now living in 450 makeshift settlements scattered around that capital, and doctors now worrying about the spread of disease. The United States and the international community have responded. The U.S. hospital ship Comfort led a flotilla of rescue vessels into Port-au-Prince. The U.S. Southern Command is airdropping food and water. Those figures so far, 1.4 million bottles of water, 700,000 meals, and 22,000 pounds of medical supplies. The naval base at Guantanamo Bay is being ready to handle an influx of refugees. The impact of the earthquake is being felt right here in north-central Wisconsin, and today on Route 51 we have three guests to tell their stories. Alessio Lacossier is a 25-year-old resident of Haiti who is in Wausau working on a degree so he can become an electromechanical technician. It's through a program from the United States Agency for International Development. He has been told that his immediate family is still alive in the community of Hinche just outside Port-au-Prince, but other information on their condition and the situation in his hometown are sketchy at best. We also have two volunteers from Wausau area churches who have just been in Haiti. Carol Mahler was part of a medical mission team from Highland Community Church and was on the island of Hispaniola when the earthquake struck. She helped treat victims in the border region of Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And Pastor Harvey Mattson of Wausau's Living Well Faith Community Church was in Haiti working at an orphanage near Port-au-Prince just the day before the earthquake. And now the orphanage has been destroyed, and the church is trying to gather funds to repair it. As always, we're taking your phone calls today. I imagine you have some questions for our guests, and if you would like to be a part of this show, give us a call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or anywhere you're listening, toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Alessio, let's start by asking you how long you've been in Wausau and what brings you here.
Before I start, I want to thank Wisconsin Public Radio to invite me here tonight and just to share my feeling and what I hear about my country with Wisconsin and Wausau people.
We want to thank you for being here because I imagine some of it is going to be difficult for you to talk about.
But it's very tough. It's very difficult because when someone, asking you questions about your country, and sometimes you don't even find something to say because, you know, and listening those and talk to other people and share what's wrong there, it's not so easy. You know, sometimes
yes.
Crying, stuff like that. But by the way, I have to do it and, you know.
You're studying for an electromechanical degree. What do you hope to do with your education?
What I really hope to do right now, I know my country really need that because you can hear from the others, even the cell phone company, they are not working there, and I guess they will need us, you know, because I'm not the only one who study at NTC. We are 8 Haitians, and 4 of us we are in the second year study electronics. The other 4 they are study business.
Mm-hmm.
But 4 of us who study electronics, we decide, you know, after our graduation and next couple months, we decide to go back and to help our country. And as soon as, and
so
we get
maybe
there,
with your knowledge, you'll be able to make things better.
I guess so, because they will need us. They will need us in this case.
What have you heard from your hometown?
I know, and it's safe. I can say 75-80%, and it's very safe. And people who live there, they're really safe. And that earthquake, they didn't do anything there. But that doesn't mean I'm okay, because even my half of my family, but I heard from some of them, not all of them actually, and I keep calling to hear from the other, but until now I don't hear anything from them yet. So even I know Angie's okay, some of my family, they are okay, but that doesn't mean I feel okay, because 200,000 people die. Mm-hmm. It's like my friend, my family, and my Haitian people.
How far outside of Port-au-Prince is Hinche?
It's 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours driving.
What does that mean in terms of miles or kilometers?
But we are not, I'm not so, you know, good in that, because in Haiti, even somewhere they said miles, but they use, I mean, hours sometimes. It's 4 or 5 hours and 3 hours, you know.
What are your greatest fears right now about your home country?
I'm really fear about how things going to be for the others. And because every single day I'm listening news from there, until now, there are a lot of dead people are on the street. And dead people with people still alive, they sleep, I mean, they stay together. And you can imagine smell. That smell can make you sick. And some of them, until now, it's difficult for them to find water and food and other supplies. And what I really fear about them is how they're going to survive. You know, because I'm here, I don't say I'm okay, but I'm better than them. When I say I can find food, I can find water, and I have access with, I mean, to go to school, and I have access with a little money. And when I hear they're still sleeping and are on the street, on their car, and they cannot eat, you know, that make me really sad, and I'm really fair, you know. And
when do you think you'll be able to go home?
At the end of June. Because,
at the end of
June. Yeah, I have a tourist program, and I will graduate in May, and I have to do an internship, and after that, I guess we're going to go back.
Carol, you were with a medical mission team from Highland Community Church. You were in the Dominican Republic, and you've been there a number of times. What do you go down there for?
We go down there to serve the people. We want to be the hands and feet of the Lord. We take medical supplies with us. We go into villages, remote villages, and we hold clinics. And the pastors in the region organize that for us. And that's what we do.
And this
we travel around.
And this is in the Dominican Republic,
which
shares the island of Hispaniola with Haiti. It wasn't
correct.
It wasn't hit by the earthquake the way Haiti was.
No.
But you were on the island when the earthquake hit. What did it feel like?
Oh, we had just returned from a clinic. We had been out up in the mountains all day, and we came back, and we had just started to clean up, and I was waiting my turn to do that, and I was outside just trying to cool off, and that earthquake hit, and it's a feeling similar to vertigo. I started weaving, and my legs started to buckle, and I honestly thought I was having a stroke from the hard work of the day, the heat of the day. And I tried to lean on one of the pillars of the veranda, and that was moving. And then I knew this is something going on. And with that, some of the people came running out of the kitchen and said, "Earthquake, earthquake." And I thought, no.
What did the members in your team do immediately after that quake, when you heard how bad it was on the other side of the island?
We were stunned. We were absolutely stunned. And we gathered together and talked about where would the epicenter be, and wondering if there was much damage or how severe it was. And we didn't really know how to react at that point, because we had no communications. And we do have a computer, and a few hours later, someone went on the computer and said, "Oh, you need to see this." And when we heard the news and how destructive it was, we went to prayer as a team and prayed for the Haitian people and asked the Lord, how can we be used? We're here. How can we be used?
Mm-hmm. And what did you do?
Well, it was by now late at night, and our Dominican doctors that work with us were already at their place where they stayed. And so we waited till morning, and then we really went into action. We met as a team. We decided as a team that maybe for just a time as this, the Lord had us there, and we had what the people needed. We had medications. We had people who were qualified to mm-hmm. help. We had doctors, and we all decided, yes, let's go. And our original intention was to go into Haiti, and that would change as we reached Yemeni, which is on the border between the two countries.
You couldn't get over the border, or you were worried about what might happen?
Yes, we could get in. The border was open, but we didn't know how we could get out. And we had had experience once before after Hurricane Noel, and we had gone into the Haitian community down in Barahona, and we needed a military escort and police to go with us. It wasn't that they would hurt us, but we had what they needed, and they were so desperate. And so we had some insight into that. And so when we got up to Yemeni that day, on Thursday morning, then we decided, no, we need to stay here. And the night before, when we arrived, we saw the people streaming over the border.
What was that like? What did you see?
It was horrific. It was chaos. There was crying. There was moaning. There were helicopters, big military helicopters bringing people in and immediately taking off. There were every type of vehicle coming in with people and injuries. We saw a pickup that had dead bodies, and that was difficult. We saw them at the hospital. They brought them on doors. They brought them on gates, fences, anything they could find. They had these open fractures, and to stabilize a limb, they used sugar cane stalks or corn stalks and tied them with banana leaves. The hospital was inundated. There were people lying everywhere, and we were told that they were out of anesthetic. They didn't have antibiotics. They didn't have painkillers.
And you were there in the midst of it doing your best to help. What did you do?
We looked, and then we made ourselves known to the director at the hospital. And about an hour after we had been there, maybe an hour and a half, we were staying at a small clinic near the hospital, about 10 minutes away. And we got word that six patients were coming, and then we got word that another six patients were coming, and by now it was quite late into the evening. There were no gurneys. There were no stretchers. Our men just carried these people in, and we were just pulling mattresses from every which way and laying them on the floor. And our doctors that were with us were looking at them, and most of them had some kind of splint or cast, but they were all lacking the medications. They were in extreme pain, and the fear was infections.
And what could your medical team do to help?
All right. They were extremely dirty. They needed to be comforted and just stroked and give them confidence and reassurance that they were getting help. We bathed them. We took off their filthy clothing. We gave them water. They hadn't had water. There was no good water, and we had that along with us also. We gave them the medications that they needed. Some still needed medical care. There were many abrasions and open cuts, and they, at the hospital, they were just given the attention where it was most needed. And still there were things that were very open and sore and
You did what
dirty.
You could.
We did what we could, and we got them comfortable, and about 2:30, 3 in the morning, it was all quiet. There was no more moaning or groaning. They were sleeping. They were so sleep-deprived and just weak from what they had gone through. And in the morning, we noticed a glint in their eyes, and they just, when you held their hand, they squeezed it. And they were...
It's a good sign.
It was. It was. And... We felt so inadequate, and yet the love and the care that we gave them, they appreciated it.
Alessio, I'd like you to respond to what you just heard as a man who grew up in Haiti.
Could you repeat again, please?
I'd like you to respond to what you just heard.
But I really want to thank her a lot for what she did for those people, because I know that was so difficult for them to get good healthcare in Haiti at that time. I know that Haiti didn't ready for this, this kind of stuff. I mean, earthquake, stuff like that. And, but that happened, and a lot of people die, and that's God. I mean, it's the only thing that I can say. He's the only one who can do something. And I know right now, there are a lot of people here, especially in Wausau, Wisconsin, and the U.S. They have goodwill to help us there, as she did before, and take care of some of them in Dominican Republic.
I'm going to have to take a quick break. I've just realized that we're way over time. But before I do that, I do want to, and then Harvey will get to your story. I do want to tell you what you can do if you want to help out. To make a donation to the American Red Cross International Response Fund, you can do that at redcross.org. Also, a $10 donation to the Red Cross effort can be made by texting Haiti to 90999. That's 90999. And you'll make an immediate $10 donation to the Red Cross effort. Also, North Central Technical College Foundation has established a fund for the families of students and scholarship programs offered through the U.S. Agency for International Development. You can send checks to NTC Foundation, 1000 West Campus Drive, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54401. You can also pay by credit card at ntc.edu. If you'd like to help some of these local mission efforts, the local medical mission effort that Carol was just talking about, send a check to Highland Community Church, 1005 North 28th Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54401. Write Haiti Relief on that check. And you're about to hear about an orphanage that needs to be rebuilt. If you'd like to help with that, you can send a check to Living Well Faith Community Church, Post Office Box 126, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402. Also write Haiti Relief on that check. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
The Central Wisconsin Cultural Center in Wisconsin Rapids announces their Emerging Artists exhibit, on display now through February 18th, featuring over 50 local youth artists. More information at 421-4598.
Your business can reach an audience like no other in Wisconsin by supporting programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. For more information about business sponsorships, call Rick Ryer at 1-800-749-3906.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our forecast for North Central Wisconsin, cloudy tonight, a low of 15. Friday, cloudy and warm, a high of 34. Chance of freezing rain and sleet late Friday night, a low of 25. Freezing rain in the morning on Saturday, turning to all rain at night, a high of 36. 33 degrees right now in Tomahawk, 30 in Eagle River and Stevens Point, 31 in Rhinelander, Wisconsin Rapids, Marshfield, and Wausau. We were talking about the local impact of the earthquake in Haiti with students who live there and with a couple of volunteers from churches who have been on the island trying to help. Let's move to Harvey Mattson, the pastor at Living Well Faith Community Church. Harvey, what brought your group to Haiti?
Well, we have a sister church in called The Journey in Madison that began working 3 years ago with the Beautiful Child Orphanage in Jacmel, which is about 25 miles south of Port-au-Prince. It's about 60 miles by road, or like Alicia said, 3.5 hours, as they talk in Haiti. And so this year we went down, I went with three other men from our church to begin to build the security wall around the perimeter of the orphanage. There's various animals that wander at large, as well as the threat of actual the children being abducted. And so we went to build that, start the wall. And so we built about 75 feet of the wall.
How many kids are there?
There's 32 children.
Where do they come from?
They come from homes that the parents just cannot support them. So
and
they're
poverty
not,
is such an endemic problem.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Well, how did you react when you left the island? You were working on the orphanage, and then just one day later you hear that this horrible earthquake happened.
Yeah, we were still in the car driving back from O'Hare, and we were right around Milwaukee. And my son, who was on our team, got a text from one of his friends that said, hey, did you know there was an earthquake in Haiti? And so that's how we found out about it. And then, of course, we were close enough to have the 3G service. And so my son went on the iPhone and we started to read the CNN reports about it as we were driving. And, you know, it was quite an upbeat feel in the car at first when we were talking about all the experiences we had. And then when we heard that news, it was just like no one knew what to say. Because it wasn't just Haiti anymore. It was, we were wondering how Sessie, the chicken man, you know, down on the street where we ate every night, and about Ruth, our interpreter, and about the 32 orphans and the Pastor
Mealy.
Yeah, and this country has names for us now.
Have you heard from the orphanage? What happened there?
Yeah, I just actually drove back into town before here. I was in Madison today meeting with the directors of Beautiful Child, the stateside directors. And all 32 children are fine, and the 8 school teachers and pastor and workers from the orphanage fortunately came away with just a few scrapes, but no one was seriously injured.
And what happened to the orphanage?
The orphanage is all the walls pretty much are down, and so they are across the little dirt road in another piece of land that we just happened to have rented this year. Living, they've got a couple of Coleman tents. I mean, you know, little 6-man pop-up ones from the UN, I think, came by and gave them a couple. That's so at least the infants are out of the sun, but they have a little brush arbor, palm branch cover that they're living under.
You're raising money right now to rebuild that orphanage.
We are. We've had an awesome response.
We're going to have to leave it there. We do have to take a break for news. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network, the local effect of the earthquake in Haiti. We'll be back with much more after this news.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg. We are talking today about the local impact of Haiti. We have Haitian students who grew up in that country, and we also have a couple of volunteers with area churches who have donated their time and who have just been on the island within the last month. Alessio Lacossier grew up in Haiti. He is 25 years old, and he is studying for an electromechanical technician degree at North Central Technical College. Also, Carol Mahler of Highland Community Church in Wausau, who was on the island of Hispaniola when the earthquake struck, and Pastor Harvey Mattson of Living Well Faith Community Church of Wausau, who is now working to rebuild an orphanage that he was helping just a week and a half ago. I do want to make these places that you can donate a part of this show, so I'm going to get to that right now, because when we get caught up in the conversation, it's easy to to have this fall by the wayside. So if you want to take a pen and a piece of paper, you can make a donation to the American Red Cross International Response Fund on their website. That's www.redcross.org. Or you can make a $10 donation to the Red Cross effort simply by texting Haiti, H-A-I-T-I, to 90999. That's 90999. This is an effort that's been supported by the U.S. State Department. You can help the families of the students who are here studying at North Central Technical College through their foundation. They've established a fund. Send checks to the NTC Foundation, 1000 West Campus Drive, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54401. You can also pay by credit card at ntc.edu. Now, to help the local medical mission effort, send a check to Highland Community Church, 1005 North 28th Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54401. Write Haiti Relief on the check. And to help rebuild the orphanage, you can send a check to Living Well Faith Community Church, Post Office Box 126, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402, and write Haiti Relief on that check. I'm going to give you a couple more numbers. These are the numbers that you can call if you would like to be a part of this program and talk to any of our guests. 261-6371, if you're in the Wausau area, that's 261-6371, or toll-free from anywhere you're listening at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. We're joined now by a second Haitian student, Cindy Cormier, who is from the community of Jacmel that Pastor Mattson was just talking about, where that orphanage is located. Cindy, tell us about your concerns for your hometown.
My hometown is 2 hours from the capital, and my family is alive, but they lost everything. But the first thing is they are alive. And I know there are many schools in the city, in my hometown, there are collapsed, and I know some church too, and many house is collapsed too.
What do you remember about your hometown? What are the things that stand out for you?
My college, my house, and there are some place, like my church, the Catholic church, and other place too, but
how bad was it hit by this earthquake? How bad is the destruction of your hometown?
I can say we have many people died, and my hometown was one of the best places in Haiti because my hometown was very clear, very like beautiful, and people like to go in my hometown. We have many architecture, and we lost that, and that's why I think
you
it's
lost
bad.
Your architectural heritage.
Yes, yes.
Harvey, maybe you can comment on Jacmel. You were just there. What significance does that community have to the Haitian people?
Well, Jacmel is the cultural center for Haiti. They have many artist schools there and cinematography schools. It's the they have like a small port really on the south side of the country. That is the largest, and if I understand the history that I read on it right, is the nation of history was first settled from the south, and so Jacmel is one of the oldest cities. A lot of French architecture that came in, and beautiful hotels that were built. One of them that I saw on a YouTube video, it's a 3-minute video that was made just right after it, and we were just, our guide took us on a tour of that French hotel that is owned now by an American that runs it. But to see it now, and we were just in it a week ago, it's like Carol said, it's just surreal to think that hotel we stayed in or that hotel we visited or that gas station we've just filled gas at is gone.
And it's not just as horrible as this is, as horrible as the 200,000 dead, the 2 million homeless, the 3 million in need. To think of this 200, 300, 400 years of architectural heritage, of cultural heritage, also gone in Haiti.
And Jacmel is, I'm using the present term, it is still the shining light in Haiti. It will be, I know there's large American hotel firms right now that still have plans of building there. And they had just bought 5 brand new garbage trucks. And so they were really making advancements towards cleaning the town up, and a lot of businesses. I mean, there's 2 or 3 Hummers driving on the street, even as narrow as they are. In business, and I just mentioned that to show there is hope for this country, and they will recover from this.
What kind of hope, and I'm going to ask both of the Haitian students, what kind of hope do you have for your country? The country was so impoverished, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere before this earthquake struck, and now what kind of hope do the Haitian people have?
I want to answer this question. Last Monday, I had a meeting with NTC President Lori Mitchell, and she said that to us, the same question, and I told her, for me, I don't see any hope for Haiti. And after I think about that, and I said, okay, Haiti, it was the poorest country, and right now, we found a way, even a lot of people died, that's happened, but we found a way that we can be better. Because the world right now decide to help us. And this is a hope for us. Because if they decide to help us, even that can take a lot of time, 5-10 years, and I guess Haiti will be better than it was before.
So you're thinking that maybe, years down the road, Haiti will be like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so, because they decide.
You know, right now, we see the entire international community, the American military, distributing food, water, medical supplies, digging people out of ruins, putting up tent cities. Where were all these people a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, addressing the problems in this chronically poor country that sits right on the back door of the United States of America, the richest country on earth? It's a rhetorical question, but Carol, where were we?
Well, I know President Clinton tried over in that country. I believe politics enter it, greed and corruption, and that's hard to address. And now that's hopefully going to be pushed aside, and the needs of the people will rise and be met.
Mm-hmm. Alicio, are there political changes or economic changes that need to happen in Haiti so that the people can prosper?
I guess they will do that, because as I can say, in the United States, we have only two political parties. I mean, the Republican and
Democrat.
In Haiti, we have more than 30, and everyone wants to be in the power. If one of them, lost the election, they keep fighting between them and between each other. And I guess the biggest problem that we have there. So if right now they don't decide to change that and to work together, as they said, unity makes strength, if they don't use this word, this sentence, I don't think we'll go farther than that. And this is a big example for them. When they have something, they receive something from the other country, they have to spend it for our country. If that money comes to build house, for electricity, for to help children, they better do that. Because last Sunday, I heard from an American, he's there helping us, and he said there were a earthquake happening in New Zealand, I don't remember where exactly, 7.0. Mm-hmm. Only 63 people died. And the same that 7.0 in Haiti, more than 200,000 people. Mm. And he said because the house, they didn't build them and the way that...
There are no building codes.
Yeah.
The buildings are not constructed to withstand an earthquake.
No. So I guess now is a big example for them. And they have to take these lessons to change Haiti, to stop fighting between them.
We're talking about the local impact of the earthquake in Haiti. If you'd like to join the conversation, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back with our guests after this.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
Midwest Seasons, a multimedia exhibit that features the work of 55 North American artists, is on display now through February 28th in the Gallery on Arts Block, downtown Wausau. More information at 842-4545.
Get enough jargon and double talk in the rest of your life, why would you want it with your science news? I'm Ira Flatow. Each week on Science Friday, we skip the bogus and buzzwords and don't dumb down the big issues in science, medicine, technology, and the environment. So join me on Science Friday as we discuss science sensibly. That's on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And our forecast for north central Wisconsin, cloudy tonight, a low of 15. Friday, cloudy and warm, high of 34. Chance of freezing rain and sleet late Friday night, a low of 25. Saturday, freezing rain in the morning, turning to all rain at night with a high of 36 and a low of 32. Right now, 31 degrees outside our studio in Wausau. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We are talking to two Haitian students and two church volunteers who have been in Haiti helping with the problems that that country has been facing long-term and, of course, short-term with the devastating earthquake. I want to talk a little bit about the images that Americans have been seeing on the television. You see the photos of crowds of starving people searching for food in Port-au-Prince. These people have been described in the news media as looters. Are these people looters and criminals, or are they doing what anyone would do to keep themselves, their children, and their families alive?
Hmm. Well, as I've thought about that, having just been in the country, what we're seeing is not the typical behavior of any human being, let alone of Haitian people. And I think it would be equally wrong to draw those conclusions as it would to have looked at what happened in Los Angeles, you know, during the riots. When there was civil upheaval and say, well, that's what all the people in America are like. We found as we were traveling through Port-au-Prince right down into Jacmel, we felt safe every night. We went out on the street. We sat with the people and you learn a couple of the phrases of the bonsoir and the sac passé and, you know, a few of the greetings, and they just opened up and they wanted, and many of them do speak English. They were warm. They inviting thankful people. They know most of the time when there's white there that we're helping rebuild the nation and they're grateful for it.
How do you react, Carol, when you hear the news media talking about looting in Port-au-Prince?
Well, there's probably some of that going on, but I can only speak about the Dominican people. And my relationship with them, I too have names and families that I return every year and see. They're very loving people, and the short time that I was helping with the Haitian people, they were so grateful, and they let us know that through an interpreter. And it breaks your heart to see that they have these needs, and they're just basic needs to survive. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I would react if I didn't have water or food.
Or
and
your
my children
child, don't have water.
Or my child was hungry or hurt. I would like to think, you know, oh, I wouldn't do that. But when it's life or death.
Alicia?
I can say they do that not because they hate each other. And I know we have a lot of help from them, but they don't distribute them in the right way. I had a lot of water and food, but if someone lives 10, 15 miles from where those food are, you won't find something to eat or to drink. You can take 3-4 days before you get something.
But in the midst of an earthquake, too, I mean, these are conditions where you have desperate people being driven to you wonder if the term looters would have been applied to these people if they were white people who were searching for food in Port-au-Prince.
Yeah, and if someone have 5-6 children and They need something. They need food. They need water. And that grandpa or grandma or mother, father, they have to go somewhere. If they have to fight, or they will use everything that they can use to get water and to get food mm-hmm. for those children, because they're still alive. They don't die. They won't let them die just because they don't find water yeah. to drink. They don't find food to drink and to eat. And they know we have a lot. They give us a lot. So they keep them somewhere, or they don't mm-hmm. give them to the right people, or they take time to give it to them. You know, I guess it's for that they try to fight, but not because they hate each other. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, when I heard from some of them, and I see they will have unity, because a lot of people, I know they have money. Right now, if someone have access to buy food, they buy more than that just to share with the others.
Right. Right.
If someone have access to water, they buy more just to share with others.
While we're talking about the media reaction, I've got two religious volunteers, and I need to get you to react to the comments made earlier by Pat Robertson, who said Haiti made a deal with the devil 200 years ago to get rid of the French, and all the years of suffering, the suffering of this earthquake, is caused by the sins of the Haitian people. Apparently linked to some voodoo ceremony that took place during the time of the revolution. Harvey Mattson, as a man of Christ, how do you react when you hear that?
We were talking about that very thing in the ride back in the van, and we knew that somebody was going to bring that up, some religious leader. They did it when Katrina hit New Orleans. They did it when the planes hit 9/11, hit the towers. All I can say is that is not the God I know. That is not a God that is for people and not against people. I do believe that the package of restoration for any nation, including Haiti, is never just physical, but it's also spiritual. And we found a deep faith in the people in that nation when we were there. And so I'm appalled by his statements.
And Carol Muller?
On every clinic that we do up in the villages, we have a Dominican pastor, and he gives the gospel message while these people are waiting for their prescriptions. And some respond to the gospel message and see a need for Jesus Christ in their life. And so when we came back to the guest house and the clinic where we stay, and this happened with the earthquake, that day we had several people respond to the message of the gospel. And just to lighten the moment, I said, the devil's mad, and he stomped his feet because he lost some mm-hmm. people today yeah. to the Lord. And that's what I believe.
Yeah. How prevalent, and I'm going to ask, Alessio, I'm going to ask you this. How prevalent is voodoo in Haiti? You know, that's all we hear about in the media here. When you think of Haiti, you think of you think of voodoo rituals. How prevalent is that, and how prevalent is the Roman Catholic faith in comparison?
Yeah, it's true. We have voodoo in Haiti, but it's not in the way that people in the U.S. think it is. There are people who use voodoo. They use them, and they have their own churches. But the percentage is very small. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot. When I go on internet, because I used to do presentation in high school, and it's the first question that they used to ask me about voodoo in Haiti. Mm-hmm. And I saw 5%, 10% people in Haiti use voodoo. But when you said that earthquake is about devil and about voodoo stuff, I think if it was about voodoo, anyone who use voodoo won't be die. A lot of them could be die. If it was about voodoo, why
is everyone dying?
Die? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And pastor and priest and even people is using voodoo stuff and devil, they die.
Harvey and Carol, you've both been involved with these people. And Carol, you were there after the earthquake, tending to the injured. Has this weakened or strengthened your faith?
Oh, it has strengthened it. I count it all joy and a privilege. I'm very humbled that I was able to be there and be used. I am not a medical person per se, and this was not my strength. We had a church family back home, prayer warriors holding us up, and I know that's why I was able to do what I did, because on my own strength, it would never have happened. And
Harvey, your experience with the Haitian people, has that weakened or strengthened your faith? Now that this has happened to these good people.
Oh, no, it has strengthened my faith. The whole earth moans and groans at the awaiting the return of Christ. And this is just part of, we live in a big world, and plates shift and these things happen. But God is still good in all of these things. And I am believing I'm the opposite. God's going to bring good out of this. And I don't know how I can change this whole nation. These problems are big and complex, but I know there's 32 children in an orphanage there. I can start there.
And Alicio, what hope do you have for your people and your country? And I need you to keep it kind of brief because we're running out of time.
Okay. And I hope everyone who decide to help us to do not give up, because actually we need the help. And I hope my government in Haiti, they change their mind. If they used to fight for something, they better stop. They better look at our country. They better think about our Haitians.
Alessio Lacossier, also Cindy Cormier, two Haitian students, Carol Mahler of Highland Community Church in Wausau, Pastor Harvey Mattson of Living Well Faith Community Church of Wausau. If you want to help, you can make a donation to the American Red Cross at redcross.org, or a $10 donation by texting HAITI Haiti to 90999. To help the North Central Technical College Foundation fund for the families of the students, send a check to the NTC Foundation, 1000 West Campus Drive, Wausau, Wisconsin. And to help the local medical mission effort we've been talking about, a check to Highland Community Church, 1005 North 28th Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54401. To rebuild the orphanage, send a check to Living Well Faith Community Church, Post Office Box 126, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402. In both cases, write Haiti Relief on the check. Next Thursday on Route 51, we preview the Badger State Winter Games and talk with Darren Schaefer of the Wausau Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, and examine his decision to stop funding the games and to make this the last year that Wausau serves as the host community for this long-running Olympic-style competition. A reminder, you can follow our adventures on Route 51 on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for riding along with us today. Remember the people in Haiti and be generous. Until next week, we're heading out of town.